If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. The topic that we are talking about is some of the jurisprudential laws regarding homes based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, is the money donated to charitable causes like helping schools, flood victims, or the people of Palestine, for example, considered part of annual expenditures so that they are not liable to homes? Would you please explain?
Of course they are.
They are considered part of the charitable donations, you know. In common view, if you are a person who usually give charity to the people who contribute towards holding religious ceremonies, and who reach out to the poor people with your money, okay. So this is part of your annual expenditures.
Yes.
And of course, the money that is spent for these purposes or that goes towards such charitable causes is not liable to khums. Khums is not to be paid on that money on the contribution that you made during the year.
Mm-hmm. I see. Last year, somebody asked, we saved some money to buy a carpet.
Yeah.
Near the last year's end, we visited shops. One of the stores promised to procure a suitable carpet to meet our requirement and taste. This continued until the second month of this year. As my khums year begins with the solar Hijri year, would this amount be subject to khums?
Well, according to the question you raised, according to this the scenario that was made, and the saved money and the said carpet are not subject to khums in the eye of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, because basically you needed the carpet and it was because of the store or the owner of the store who did not procure you a suitable carpet on time, so it was delayed, and you wanted to buy it and bring it home. The carpet, you received the carpet later after the khums year. There's no problem, and khums is not paid, and the carpet is not subject to khums either.
I see. Okay, another question, Sheikh Javed, is that several people have collectively established a private school. After they invested a little money they had, the founding committee decided to take a bank loan to cover other expenses. Furthermore, the founding committee decided that each partner should pay a certain amount every month to complete the investment capital and to pay off the bank installments.
Yes.
Considering that the institution has not yet entered its profit-bearing stage, is the amount paid by each of the partners liable to khums? Does the khums apply to the entire capital? In other words, the value of the whole institution?
Well, based on the answer given by Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, khums is obligatory for each member with respect to his monthly payment towards the contribution to the capital of the company, as well as on the initial share in the school's foundation. So that's something that has to be noted, and of course khums has to be paid on that money or on the initial capital. You know, once each member has paid khums on his share of the capital of the company, then the total capital is not liable to khums again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue your program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. Anshar Tawid, our guest speaker. The topic is still homes or some of the jurisprudential laws regarding homes based on fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Tawid, for some years, my employer has been indebted to me. Would this amount be liable to homes on its recovery or at the year's end after receipt?
Well, we do know that there are some employees who get their salary, for example, 6 months later or maybe 1 year later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, they do want to get it on time, but of course, because of them and the company, because the company is faced with, for example, with a lot of financial problems,
mm-hmm.
so it fails to pay its workers their wages on time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, according to all the religious authorities, as far as I know, khums is not paid on the money which is now still with the employer
mm-hmm.
or with the company. Because it's not your money, you have not received anything yet. Maybe the company might end up not paying it at all.
Right.
So khums is not paid on that money which you have not received yet. And if you happen to receive the money, the wage, it is considered to be a subject khums if it's not spent during the year. And of course, in most cases, we do know that the employees spend the money. And it's not, of course, it's not, khums is not paid on it. Now, generally speaking, if the money is okay, if the money is your salary and it's not receivable at the end of the khums year, it is considered part of the gains of the year of receipt. So part of the gain of the year of receipt means that whenever you receive it, it is considered to be part of the earning, part of the saving of that very year in which you receive that money. And if the amount is spent on the annual expenses, there's no doubt that khums is not paid on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I see. Okay, is the criterion for exemption of something from khums its usage during the year or it's being needed during the year, even if it remains unused?
Based on the explanations we gave, it does not make any difference. You might need it, but you may not end up using it during the year. So if you use it, there's no doubt that khums is not paid on anything or any, for example, item that you use it. For example, you buy a refrigerator and you use it maybe for some time and khums is not paid on it. But if you happen to need something, like for example, you have a lot of guests and you buy kitchen utensils, dishes and, you know, bowls and cutleries, you know, such things you buy, but you did not happen to use them, but you definitely needed them because sometimes maybe you would receive guests which you have not received, who you have not received yet, but you needed them out of precaution. So khums is not payable on them. Now, for items like, for example, clothing, carpets, etc., that are not consumed when used, the criterion is the need for them, you know, the mm. need for them. But for consumable items of daily necessities like, rice, oil, and, you know, we have to sort out, we have to differentiate between these things. Because, like, for example, if we have rice, the rice has to be used,
mm.
okay? It's not like we cannot compare rice and oil with a car or with a carpet, you know, mm-hmm. with clothing, things like
yes.
that. So if we have edibles like rice or, you know, fruit and things like that, and if they remain in the house and not spent, then khums has to be paid on the surplus.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Until we see again and another program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun الظاهر والباطن